Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today. Now, here is Dr. J. Otis Yoder with Hope for Today.
We may wonder, where did all the languages come from anyway? We might even wonder, where did language itself come from? But the study of languages has revealed little of their origins. The Encyclopedia Britannica suggests that languages go back about 5,000 years. However, our Holy Bible tells us the first man, Adam, had language skills sufficient to name all the animals. The Bible also reveals that God spoke into being the world and all in it. And God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. It is reported that God said at least 7 times, "And God said," to create the world. 7 times. In view of the fact that the record has come down to us in the Hebrew language, we have reason to believe that God spoke in Hebrew. We have no other adequate explanation for the beginning of language except what we get in the Bible. There we have it. Now, some linguists have argued that there is sufficient evidence among the various languages of the world that there was one time a universal language. Of course, that is what the Bible teaches us. In fact, the Bible teaches us that in Genesis chapter 11, God dispersed the languages and gave many languages in order to frustrate the plan of the human race to build that tower to heaven. Now we learn as we study language that there are several different language families, we call them. There is an Indo-European language family, wherein is English and German, Latin, Greek, and so forth. And there is a Semitic language, which is Hebrew, Arabic, and certain other languages like that. It is very interesting to know that God revealed His will and word to us in 2 very distinct languages, Hebrew and Greek. Paul was conversant in at least 2 languages, those 2 languages, Hebrew and Greek. He spoke Hebrew to the crowd in the temple when he was arrested, and he spoke Greek to the elite in Athens. He wrote all his letters, as far as we know, in the Greek language. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul took up the question of languages in the assembly, the body of Christ, when they get together. Our Bible translates the word tongues. In my message, I will discuss the proper function of tongues from 1 Corinthians 14, 10 to 22. Be sure to have your Bible open there and be ready. There are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them without signification. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian, and he that speaketh shall be a barbarian to me. Even so ye, forasmuch as ye are zealous of spiritual gifts, seek that ye may excel in the edifying of the church. Wherefore let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else, when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth a room of the unlearned say Amen at thy giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God, I speak with tongues more than ye all. Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding, that by my voice I might teach others also, than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be children, but in understanding be men. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people, and yet for all that they will not hear me, saith the Lord. Wherefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to them that believe not. But prophesying serveth not for them that believe not, but for them which believe. His first argument for the proper function of tongues deals with the limitation of tongues. He says there are a multitude of voices, multitude of languages. Each has its peculiar sound. Now there are some sounds that carry across from one language to another. That makes our language families. For example, the Indo-European language family has a number of sounds that come across in English, German, Spanish, and French. The apostle speaks about that in his discussion. Each has his peculiar sound. Each language, each voice has its peculiar sound. But when that sound is strange to me, then there's no comprehension. Mrs. Yoder and I have traveled in a number of countries in the world. We have found it difficult in certain areas to understand because we are not conversant in the language of the people. When the language is not common, there's no communication. The Apostle Paul then goes on to speak about how they are zealous for spiritual gifts, but they should be zealous for the edifying of the church. The speaker in tongue language should hope to translate from one language to another. But apparently speaking in a language that he does not understand means that he would only be speaking in his spirit, not in his mind. So he should pray to be able to translate so that the congregation, the body, would be edified. So tongues are limited if there's no translator. Then the speaker has no reason to speak. The second argument the apostle uses is the argument of the appropriation of tongues. He does not say that tongues are sinful, but he does say that it is important that we understand how to appropriate tongues, if indeed they are used in the assembly. Understanding is essential for communication. So when one prays in a tongue, he only prays in the spirit. He does not pray in his mind, he says. And when he sings in a tongue, he sings in the spirit, but he does not sing with his mind. Then when somebody comes into the congregation and hears you or someone speaking in tongues, he's not able to endorse what is being said, and so he can't support it with his amen, because he does not understand what is going on. You would not say amen to something you did not know what was happening, would you? So the support of amen comes from the understanding of what is being spoken. It appears that the Apostle Paul is saying that tongues are to be used in private. I say in private. In the confines, the secret of your own home and your own spirit. Unless there's somebody who can translate. I prefer to use the word translate instead of the word interpret. Translate what is going on. And the Apostle then says that five words in an understandable language are worth more than 10,000 words in a language that cannot be understood. Millions of words not understood have no value. Without a translator, tongues should not be used. The appropriation of tongues. Thus, the appropriation of tongues is for edification, to build up the church, to help the church grow and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. The third argument that Paul uses in the proper use of tongues is the clarification of tongues. The Apostle Paul here tells us to be balanced. Grow up in understanding. Don't be children. Don't be children in understanding. Be children in malice. Hold no grudges. Be balanced. Be childlike in malice. The truth must get through. I have learned that many people do not hear because they do not want to hear. And sometimes they set up artificial barriers to understanding. The Apostle Paul then tells us that tongues are for a sign, albeit not for an effective sign, because observers marvel. They are surprised. Maybe that's what created the challenge in the Corinthian church to speak in tongues. Tongues are for a sign, albeit not for an effective sign. Observers marvel, and the person who is speaking in tongues is having something of a spiritual ego trip, maybe, huh? I'm not saying that to be unkind to anybody. But prophecy is a sign to believers, the edifying of the body. That is a central purpose of Paul's chapter, to help the church to grow. Therefore, that which create problems should not be on the front stage. Use what is most useful. And what is most useful, he very clearly indicates, and I mentioned last week, the priority of prophecy. Secondarily, tongues, certainly. Nowhere do we learn that anyone is to teach others to speak in tongues. They do it, though. I mean, I've heard of people. In fact, I was in a meeting one time when the pastor was trying to demonstrate to the congregation how to learn to speak in tongues. The Bible nowhere teaches that. The speaking should be in private unless there is one that can translate. So whenever a translator is there, then the message can get over to the others who do not understand the language that is being spoken. From Paul's arguments, we can learn the proper function of tongues. There is a limitation of tongues. The one who is speaking should aim to edify the church. So by his speech, if he does not edify the church, he should not be speaking. The appropriation of tongues is a private matter. It is not essential in the body of Christ. For personal edification, it may be proper. And then finally, the clarification of tongues. The aim is to reach unbelievers. Speaking in tongues will not necessarily reach the unbelievers, because as Paul says, when that unlearned person comes into the congregation, he is unable to say amen, because he does not understand what is going on. Now, let's pray. Heavenly Father, I bless thee and thank thee that thou hast heard my prayer, and I pray that the Holy Spirit may further minister to that friend of mine through my exposition of this chapter. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Friend, Dr. Yoder addressed a very important subject, and I'd like to help you better understand the proper function of tongues. I can do that by offering a printed copy of the message you heard today. In fact, all the messages in our series of study from 1 Corinthians are printed in a paperback book called Glory in the Lord. I urge you to get a copy of this book. That way, you'll have this message to read and study on your own. And I believe it will help your understanding if you can have the entire message available for your further study. Our mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. Or you can log on to our website at www.heraldsofhope.org and send us an email with your request for the book. To receive your copy of Dr. Yoder's book, just write and ask for it by title, Glory in the Lord. This will be a valuable resource in helping you understand God's Word. Again, that title is Glory in the Lord, and we'll send a copy to you when you write and ask for it. The mailing address is Hope for Today, Post Office Box 3, Breezewood, Pennsylvania, 15533. And our web address is www.heraldsofhope.org, where you can send an email with your request for the book. When Dr. Yoder returns next week, we'll continue our study in Chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians. I hope you'll join us to learn about meaningful public worship. Until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.